Hey friends, and welcome back to Her God Story, a place where you will always hear powerful, faith-filled stories to encourage and inspire your walk with the Lord. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares American International, author and traveler on this journey with Jesus. I'm so glad you're tuning in today. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's not just a call to speak truth. It's a call to live it out, to reflect His heart through the way we care, give, and love. We invite you to do that through our Widow and Orphan Fund. As a community of women, we have the privilege of shining God's light into some of the darkest places on earth, bringing real hope to those facing unimaginable hardship. Just recently, we were able to send support to Christian widows in Myanmar, a nation ravaged by civil war and rocked by a devastating earthquake. Many of these women lost their husbands to violence or persecution for their faith. In their grief, they are also facing crushing poverty, displacement, and fear. Some have even felt so overwhelmed they've lost the will to live. But God sees them. He hears their cries, and because of generous friends like you, tangible help and lasting hope are reaching them through trusted ministry partners on the ground. These precious women now know they're not forgotten. Would you prayerfully consider joining us in our Widow and Orphan Fund? Just visit hergodstory.org and click Help Now. Every gift makes a difference. And yes, we even accept cryptocurrency. Now, let's dive into today's episode. One of the most powerful ways we glorify God is by passing on our faith, living it out daily in such a way that it leaves a lasting mark on others. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide them from our children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done." Every generation needs to hear how God still moves, how He heals, provides, sustains, and redeems. That's what my guest, Kathy Branzell, does so beautifully, and why I've taken a portion of a previous episode to highlight this powerful calling. Through Kathy's incredible journey, from military dreams and medical battles to motherhood and ministry, she has lived a life that tells of God's faithfulness. She's not only the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, but a passionate woman of faith who has learned how to pray deeply, love, lead faithfully, and walk courageously through trials most of us can only imagine. Her story is a living legacy of hope, and one that continues to impact lives across the nation. So whether you're a mom, a mentor, or someone still finding your footing, Kathy's testimony will encourage you to live your faith in a way that it shines and inspires the next generation. Let's listen in. While you were growing up, did you always have a dream of serving the Lord in ministry?
Nope, not even close. My dream was to fly SR-71s. I wanted to serve God and country. All I wanted to do was fly SR-71s in the outer atmosphere and fight the enemy by collecting intelligence. And that I wanted to do that all the way through life.
Did you apply for an academy job?
I did, and wound up going, made a decision to go to the University of Georgia on ROTC, into the ROTC detachment. But dreams were shattered as we found out I was night blind. Now, I had learned to fly at the age of 15, but I did not get, had no idea that I was night blind. I thought everybody had trouble seeing at night. I wasn't trying to hide it, but in getting to go into a deeper, much deeper physical for the possibility, not probability, but possibility of getting to fly, they found out I was night blind, and everything came to a screeching halt at that moment, because you can't fly and be night blind in the military.
I've seen in my life, and I'm sure you have too, Kathy, that God directs the paths of the righteous even before we really know we're righteous sometimes. You know, I mean, you have been a Christian, of course, and so He was directing your paths. But sometimes even when we don't know God's directing us, He is directing us. And when we look back on our life, we think, wow, God, You were there even when I felt like You had abandoned me. Even when I felt like I missed it, Lord, You were still there directing my path. So along the way, you met your husband, you got married, you started a family.
I met my husband when I was 11. and he was 13. Our dads were stationed in Texas together. I know we have this sweet story of no secrets, you know, when you know each other from that. But yeah, we met. It's really a funny story. I'll tell it very briefly, but he was a really, really good baseball player. And I belong to the Baptist Church in Texas, and Baptist softball is a big deal in Texas, or at least it used to be. And we, played each other. All these churches played each other, and it was very competitive. Our youth group wanted him to come play because he was so good for our team, but you had to go to church at least one day a week to get to play that week. My husband will self-profess that he was quite the heathen as a child and really didn't want anything to do with God. But our youth group dragged him into Wednesday night where he got dinner in youth group. And as he tells the story, he walked in. He can tell you what we ate, what I was wearing, and where we sat, and the dirty looks my father gave him all through dinner as he sat down across the table from me with his spaghetti plate in hand, looked at his friend Randy Hawkins and said, "I'm going to marry that girl."
Wow.
And so many, 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 many years later, we got married. My father became his Sunday school teacher first. So anyway, we've known each other a really long time. But yep, along the way, finally got married and started a family.
But even after that, you were dealt another pretty, pretty big blow. One that made your dream of not becoming a pilot pale in comparison.
Yeah, it's a dark day when you hear your doctor say you have a brain tumor, and having an infant and having a brain tumor is not something anybody can plan for. And so I struggle with the idea of getting angry at God, because I'm like, why would you run from the one God, because I don't want to call him a person, but the one who is your help and your hope. Even if he decides not to be your earthly healer, he is going to be your ultimate healer. And so I don't judge a single person, please hear my heart, who does get mad. But that was not my path. My path was to run head first, headlong onto my face, into the throne room of heaven at his feet, and cry for help.
So did you get miraculously healed? Did you have to go through some medical treatments? How was that journey for you?
14 and a half years of chemotherapy.
Wow.
It was a very long, gross, painful journey of experimental chemo, but then I would go into remission. And each time the remissions got a little shorter and shorter. At one point, they had taken me off the chemo too early, thinking I was in remission, and I wasn't. And the tumor started growing back almost immediately, but it grew into a different area of the brain. And I lost my short-term memory for 18 months.
Wow.
And so that's, always keep your sense of humor and everything. People would look at me funny, but it was the only way to explain it to people was I would say, just, I'm Teflon brain. Nothing sticks.
Yeah.
Nothing sticks. It was very almost Alzheimer-ish, where I could turn to you and meet you, turn away and turn back to you and meet you again. And so that was a very scary 18 months, as I had my long-term memory, but we just had moved to Colorado, so I had no long-term memories there. So if I left my house, I was lost. But God. And so varying stages of chemotherapy reached a point where there was nothing more they could do for me, signed paperwork for an experimental surgery. And 2 weeks before that surgery, God said, enough, and sent this incredible woman I've never met before and never seen since from Mexico, who had a dream the night before about me. And God told her to tell me I was healed. And I would love to be able to confess that I received that with great faith and jubilation, but I did not. I questioned her, and God made it clear that that was the case in our conversation.
Wow.
And I went home, had an MRI, and praise the Lord, the tumor was gone. And so that was in 2000.
Even in the middle of your grim prognosis, you decided not to get mad. Instead, you started getting involved in ministry. So how did you do that?
I can't pinpoint it to a moment, but you know, there was a Chris Rice song that said, "Teach us to number our days and teach us to make our days count." That was really bringing me back to my roots of every minute has mission and meaning. And was I going to waste? I still rested. I still did my treatments. I mean, it was a long road, but I wasn't going to sit around and wait. And a lot of time the opportunity was at the hospital, the hospital, the lab, you know, just encouraging others, continuing to speak faith, knowing that God's always faithful. He's not going to stop being faithful to me on this day. And so expressing that faithfulness and encouraging others wherever I was, people who were bringing me food, doing my laundry, taking care of my children, they would always say, you know, I came over to minister to you, but you ended up ministering to me. This is crazy. And so just being willing to take all that God has for every day and to invest in that opportunity to store up treasures in heaven.
Well, after your 14-year struggle and all that you and your family had been through, what did God do? You know, you learned some deep lessons from the Lord. Can you share some of those?
Oh, wow. Trust Him with everything. Don't take anything at face value. Take everything at faith value is really what I would tell people now. I often say, God, what are you up to? And you can almost hear say, well, come up and see. You know, He will give you heaven's view. If you ask Him, that comes from one of my most favorite Bible studies of all time, you know, T.W. Hunt's From Heaven's View. With that, just trusting Him in the moments, not running ahead of Him, not falling behind, but keeping in cadence with His heartbeat for you, and living that out for my children, living that out in our family. A pity party only puts you in a pit. You know, when you really think the root of a pity party is the word pit. And so how do you just celebrate life every single day, wherever you're living it and however you're living it?
For a planner like me, taking everything one step at a time with the Lord can be challenging. I mean, I'm daily learning how to do that. I'm getting better at it, but I like to run ahead and say, okay, let me see what's ahead, Lord. But he doesn't show us.
Well, I plan to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
The joke is I plan to be spontaneous. And so that's just a discipling moment where you still make plans. Let me just say that you still make plans. You're just willing for God to frustrate them.
Not long after you and your family had been through all that you had been through, your son experienced a health crisis. And as a mom, that probably shook you more than your own mortality. How did you walk through that?
It was the worst. As a matter of fact, when our son, just a year later, we were a cancer-free family for a whopping 13 months, not even. And when the doctor said that he had this horrific, rare blood cancer, I actually whispered the words to God, just give me mine back. And God's like, that's not how this works. That's not what this is about. But that was painful. And in that moment, to have my 16-year-old boy, okay, everybody just stop. And if you've ever interacted with a 16-year-old boy, if you've had a 16-year-old boy, you'll know this was God and His response. He looked at the doctor, he looked over at me, and he looked back at the doctor, and he said, either way, I win. And his Jewish doctor said, I have no idea what you're saying. What are you talking about? And Chandler said, well, doc, if by the miracle of medication, Jesus allows you to cure me, to heal me, and I live longer here on earth, then in the words of my mom, He's not ready to graduate me and I win. But doc, if He decides that my time here is done, if I'm not healed here and I get to go home and be in heaven with Jesus, that's a bigger win. And so, doc, just so you know, no guilt for you, but no glory for you either. Jesus decides my days. And he said, my mom had cancer for over 14 years, and I know from watching her, this is an opportunity to glorify Jesus. And that's what we will do. So that was that journey for almost 2 years. And thankfully, he still is with us and is thriving and serving the Lord in media.
And what a testimony, though, really, of how you walked through your cancer journey, that your son would be have seen your faith in the middle of it all. I'm sure you had days when you were like, can I do this anymore, Lord? Seeing that steadfastness gave him the confidence when he faced it to say, yeah, I can do this. Through God, not my own strength.
He saw it as a platform to get to share his faith. And he had chemo every single Friday. Imagine that, you know, your high school years are supposed to be the greatest years of your life. And every weekend for his junior and senior year, he's sick as a dog. He's in the infusion room all day Friday, but he just used it no matter where we were in the lab. He was hospitalized several times. You know, we're at Children's Hospital, and he just used it to express his faith. And it was a platform for him, a microphone. So I was grateful. So for moms and grandmas out there, let me just speak to grandmas and aunts and, you know, maybe some older people right now that are like, why am I still here? What is my purpose? You know, is God still using me? My dad used to tell us stories about him growing up and things that he's been through. And of course, my brother and I had to jab with my dad. We called them boo-hoo stories, you know, about him walking to school both ways in the snow uphill with no shoes, you know, those kind of things. But really, I want to encourage you to talk about your history, talk about your days with children, with youth, with whatever. But instead of making it about you, make it a story about God's faithfulness. Talk about where God showed up. That's what scripture is. You know, we know these great stories of all of these people, but it's like, and, you know, here's where God engaged and here's what God did and here's how God provided and here's what God said. And yes, you know, here's where people were disciplined and here's where people died and here's where, you know, David's running for his life and living in caves. It's not this fairy tale story, but it is a story of God's faithfulness. So make your life and your testimony and your conversations without becoming preachy. Make your stories about God's faithfulness and start building up courage and strength in our younger brothers, sisters in Christ's lives so that they know whose they are, the character of God and his strength. And they start walking in that instead of what they're hearing on the news and what they're hearing at school and what bullies and friends and peer pressure are telling them. Start building up that God confidence and that God identity in them. As you tell your stories.
Yeah, you know, my parents were the first believers in their families, at least in that generation. My whole family, we got saved within a month of each other and kind of grew in the Lord together. But I loved when I was little to read biographies of believers. I would read Corrie ten Boom and I would read, you know, Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. And, you know, Amy Carmichael's story. And I loved those stories of faith because they gave me such confidence that God was going to work in my life too. And it's even more impactful when you hear it right out of the horse's mouth. I mean, I've, over the years, God has allowed me to, you know, meet some believers who have lived long and seen God's faithfulness in their lives. And just what you said, it's so impactful to hear right from them. This is what God did for me.
You know, I think I was just reflecting the other day on my life because of many things that have happened, even as a child. And I thought out loud, you know, the enemy has always been after me. The enemy always has, my entire life has wanted to shut me down because of the plans that God has for my life. And that's true for every human being. I'm not special. I'm not, you know, we all walk in kingdom purpose. But just thinking about how the enemy's been after me all the time, even as a child, and going back and saying, thank you, God. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for snatching me out of the enemy's hand in that moment. Thank you that I didn't go into some pit of despair because of that happening, because of people very close to me committing suicide in high school, and on the stories go. But just having your kids make it a habit to stop and notice God's faithfulness and the whole God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. You can teach a four-year-old, a three-year-old to talk about, well, how is God great? You know, try that for a dinner conversation. Well, what else do you thank him for besides food? And really growing up these prayer warriors and these warriors in Christ so that they are strong all the way through whatever God has for them. And quite frankly, whatever the enemy has for them, so that it's a glory story.
Amen. I love the women that you got to work with. It was such a privilege for you, I'm sure, to work so closely with women like Shirley Dobson and Vinette Bright and Anne Graham Lotz. I mean, true women of the faith, true mothers of the faith. Just by being around them, I'm sure you learned so much. You got to observe their lives and watch how they dealt with crisis, and share one or two memorable things that you learned just by being around them shoulder to shoulder.
Wow. I certainly learned to pray. You know, we say prayer is caught, not taught. You really grow a deeper, more intimate prayer life by praying with people who have deep, intimate prayer lives. Mm. And so definitely learned how to pray, learned a lot about leadership, but also learned a lot about marriage and family life.
Like what?
I remember standing at chapel and Focus on the Family with Shirley, and she's just looking adoringly at Doc. It was the sweetest thing to just step back for a second and look at her looking at him. Now, they have a very cool relationship, and I've had the privilege of spending an enormous amount of time with them and traveling with both of them. And they tell funny stories on each other. They have this great sense of humor. They just have a sweetness about them. But getting her to look at him, and then after chapel, she grabbed my arm. It was like she was going to explode if she didn't tell somebody. And she said, integrity. When I look at my husband, I have so much respect for him because he is a man of integrity. And I thought, ooh, sis, you plant that in your heart right there. Because so many times we honor people for worldly applause, and she could have said how many books he's written, the number of people he's helped, to look at this massive ministry that he grew, you know, from a seedling. But she looked at his character and she honored him. That's something for us to remember as wives, is to watch what we say, even if we're like just joking, you know, the Bible says don't do that, because we're saying this is really what's in my heart about you. And so to remember, I would say I learned from all of those women various things, but that every human being needs acknowledgement. So don't ignore people. They were all great at stopping and giving people their focused attention.
Which is hard to do when everybody knows
you. Not looking over your shoulder, not looking around the room for somebody more important, or how do I get, just acknowledging you as a human being, giving appreciation to everyone, to their staff, to their families, and just appreciative people, and great affection, not withholding, beyond the leadership. You could take a whole bunch of leadership lessons, and at the root, there were those three things.
Mm, those are good. So you love prayer, head of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. A lot of people don't have that same feeling about it. How did you get to that point? And how can others get to that point?
Like I was saying, prayer is caught, not taught. And so for a lot of us, prayer feels awkward. You think that, and maybe you were raised that, you have to go into your best King James version, and you have to use big words, and you sound very glamorous and well-educated in your prayers, and use some thous and some arts. And really, prayer is a conversation with the one who loves you more than you could ever understand, and the one that can do anything and everything abundantly beyond anything we could ever imagine. It's a conversation with your Abba Father. Respectful, but I would say probably my most spoken prayer is help.
Yeah.
And maybe my second most spoken prayer was shut my mouth, you know, guard my lips. It doesn't have to be glamorous, but really the fervency of prayer comes out of a warm heart. It doesn't come out of here, out of your brain. It comes out of your heart. Being willing to learn different parts of prayer as a study of prayer, because this year, Exalt the Lord, we got to talk about praise. And people will very quickly confuse praise with thanksgiving. Now, we praise God for who he is, unchanging, all his attributes. I love my husband because he is my husband. And I don't withhold my love based on what he does or doesn't do. That's thankfulness. That we thank God for what he does. We praise him for who he is. We love him because of who he is. We are faithful because of who he is. And so starting to understand what intercession is and praise is and thanksgiving is and listening, letting it be a conversation, your prayer life can grow. You can grow out of a quiet time and into a prayer life, just kind of a day at a time, a moment at a time, every day along the way, just saying either out loud or in your spirit as a beautiful bird flies by, or you see the sunset, or your kids all climb in the car and are chatting away to you about their day, and you're talking to God about it. That is prayer to me.
As we close, I love to ask my guests if there's a woman in the Bible whose story has inspired or encouraged you or taught you something, and how her God story relates to yours.
You know, for a long time, it was Ruth. Because, I mean, I think about Ruth and Naomi and that trip, you know, over from Moab to Bethlehem, and traveling with someone who calls herself bitter. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how fun that road trip was for Ruth? But she was so sweet and so faithful. And just to have this intimacy with her mother-in-law like that, making it clear my mother-in-law wasn't like that. Just to be willing to journey with the bitter, to be willing to journey with the hurting, even the hateful, and show them the love of Jesus Christ like Ruth did. Man, I want to be like that, because it's too easy to run from those people and just be like, okay, enough. But in these days of such great mental illness, going on in our country right now, so many hurting people, so many hopeless people, we need to be more Ruth-like and be willing to serve them, love them, stick with them, so that our God will become their God.
Amen.
As we've heard through Kathy's powerful testimony, our lives, marked by God's faithfulness through trial and triumph, can become a living legacy of faith to those around us. Just as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, the NIV version, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." We are called to pass on that legacy, not only through our words, but through the way we endure, trust, and walk closely with the Lord.
So, Kathy, would you take a moment and pray for everyone who listens to this amazing God story?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you that you loved us first, and your loving thoughts towards us are more than even the numbers of grains of sand up on this planet. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage, that you would bring courageous confidence, courageous love, courageous joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control into the lives of every listener. Lord, that the seeds that were planted in the Holy Spirit's hands today would grow into an orchard of fruitfulness, that we would remember that self-control coming from the Holy Spirit really plugs our heart into the Spirit, that fruitfulness, not feelings, should run our life when we are plugged into the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to sort through the emotions of life to get to the root of you. So it is to our Father's glory that we bear much fruit. And so I ask for courageous listeners today who are encouraged in you, deeply rooted and being built up in you, established in their faith, just as they were instructed, and that they would be overflowing with gratitude. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful, wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
What a powerful reminder that the faith we live out today can echo into future generations. Just as Lois and Eunice's sincere faith poured into Timothy's life, Kathy's journey shows how a life of steadfast faith and prayer can shape not only our path, but the faith of those who walk beside us. From her own miraculous healing to the courageous stand of her son, we've seen that faith in God isn't something just for the good times. It's a way of life. It's how we anchor our souls in hope and how we pass on the legacy of a living relationship with God. If you'd like to hear more of Kathy's story, check out the episode posted on July 11th, 2022, entitled, I Take Things at Faith Value. Now, let me bless you with these words from Psalm 121. May the Lord keep you from all harm and watch over your life. May the Lord watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. May his peace guide your heart. May his presence go before you. And may your life continue to tell the story of his faithfulness. If you need prayer, we'd be honored to stand with you. You can call or text our prayer line at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. It's our joy to believe with you for God's work in your life. You can explore more about Kathy's books and her work with the National Day of Prayer in our show notes at hergodstory.org. Until next time, I'm Jody Caracosta. Keep seeking God and remember, he is still writing your story.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.